Now we come to the time in our service when we have the privilege of opening God's Word. Today I'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 7, and reading verses 36 through 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought in an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who it is that is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled their debts. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May we hold these words dear to our heart.
Celebrate. Wasn't that exciting? I want to thank our young people today for coming and sparing this special Sabbath with us. And I know that Claudia has trained them well. As they were coming in, Claudia, to sit down, I could hear it whispered all throughout the group, "Do we sit? Do we sit?" But they all stood until you came and then sat down together. That was great. Thank you so very much. And don't you enjoy the flowers on the platform and out in the foyer? I want to say a big thank you to Judy Bunch for helping to make that possible. And I'd like for all of you to know that at the close of the service today, if you'd like to take one to a shut-in, to someone that you know, and you'd just like to share Christ with them, well, feel free to take one with you. I'd like to suggest that maybe no more than one per family, but take them and share them with somebody else on this very special weekend. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. All the things I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. The words to that powerful song tells a story of the resurrection of Christ, but more than that, it tells the story, really, of Mary. Mary of Magdala. Because the story of Magdala is that when she met Jesus, she was never the same again. And you know, when I read the New Testament, there's not the story of another individual that tells me, that illustrates as well to me the experience of salvation, as well as the story of Mary of Magdala. Now, I know that in recent months that Mary has become very popular in the press, in movies, and books. Unfortunately, from unsanctified imaginations. But I'd like to share with you this morning that the true story is so much more moving and exciting and powerful than all of that out there. The story about Jesus and his marvelous love, his wonderful grace, and his power that is unmatched by any other power in this entire universe. You know, our scripture this morning that Ron shared with us is just once in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where that story is shared. Actually, you find this story in all four Gospels, but in a different time frame in Luke. In the other three Gospels, you find it not long before the crucifixion. Luke uses the story in a different way, much earlier in his Gospel. But if you put all four of those stories together, you begin to form a beautiful picture of Mary and what she was really, really like. And I'd like to share a little bit of that story with you this morning. Because you see, Mary apparently was growing up in Bethany with her sister and her brother. And you get from the story that she was a very desirable woman. Someone who was appreciated by men. And you discovered there the story of Simon the Pharisee, who became Simon the leper. And in that story, you also discovered that this Simon the Pharisee was the one who led Mary into sin, who took advantage of her and led her down the wrong road. Now, it could even be that this was the Mary of Magdala, that is told about in John 8, the woman taken in adultery. You remember that story? That actually some of the translations of the Bible no longer even put in there, because you see, there are those who felt in those, when those old manuscripts were being written, that the thought that we serve a God who could forgive even a woman taken in adultery was just unbelievable. So some of them left it out. But the story is there, and perhaps it was after that incident that Mary's reputation, the gossip that went around about her, caused her to move up to Magdala by the sea. Magdala by the sea. How many of you have been to Magdala by the sea? Some of you have, yes. Just a small little village, especially in the time of Christ. Just a small little place. And you know, a single woman in those days didn't have many places to turn. And no doubt, Mary fell again into her old way of life, into her old habits to make a living. And we're not told how many times Jesus came to that area, to Magdala itself, and preached. But I'm guessing that Mary, as often as she could, whenever Jesus came, she went to hear him. She went to hear him because this individual that she came to know as her Savior and her Lord, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when he said that whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, that no matter what anybody else believed about her, no matter what others said about her, or even if they had given up hope for her, this Jesus never gave her up for lost. This Jesus kept on, and she would confess her sins, and she would repent of her sins. And then she would fall again, and she would fall again. We're told in Scripture that seven times the Savior cast the demons out of her. She fell over and over again. Do any of you know what that is like in endeavoring to live the Christian life? To fall over and over and over again. That was Mary of Magdala. And yet Jesus loved her so very much. He loved her with his whole heart and soul. And one day, through the grace of Jesus Christ and through his power, she experienced victory, and she decided to go back home to Bethany, to where her sister lived, to where her brother lived. And she was going to be with them again. She knew that she had been forgiven because she had met the person who said to her that if you confess your sins, I will forgive your sins. I will be just and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And she knew what that meant. She was free. And brothers and sisters, that's what forgiveness is all about. It's all about justification. That's what it is. It's standing right with God in our lives. And Mary knew that freedom to know that her sins had been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, quoting from the Old Testament, says there in Romans 4, 7 and 8, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Do you know what that means? That means when Jesus forgives your sin, when he forgives your sin and my sin, he treats us as though we had never sinned. Folks, that is good news. That is great news. That is the wonderful news of the scriptures that we should be celebrating every day of our lives. Jesus covers our sins. He covers our sins. And you know, Mary's gratitude knew no bounds. And she attempted to pour it all out as she used that beautiful present that she wanted to pour upon his feet, that perfume, to anoint his feet there in the home of Simon the Pharisee, there in the home of Simon the leper. For apparently after his experience with Mary, he had come down with leprosy. That's why he was known as Simon the leper. And no doubt it was Jesus Christ himself who heals Simon. As you read the story, the little parable that Christ tells. And Jesus didn't do that because of whom Simon was. He did that because he delighted to reach out and to touch the lives of others and to make them whole again. Because Simon did not even yet believe in Jesus as his Savior, much less as his Lord. And so he struggled with knowing whom this individual was. And you know, we struggle, some of us, with allowing him to be the Lord of our lives. Simon struggled with even accepting him as Savior. One thing that comes clear to us from the story of Mary is that she knew two wonderful things about her Savior. The first was that her past sins were covered. Her past sins were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And secondly, that he had the power to give her victory, to live for him each and every day of her life. And Mary discovered the source of that power. She discovered the source of that power in the story by sitting at the feet of Jesus. You remember that story well of Martha and Mary. The interesting thing in that story, and I love the way that it is told. I'm thankful that it is in Scripture because Martha was doing something that was important, wasn't she? She was doing something that was really important. Somebody had to fix dinner. Someone had to fix dinner. But she had not chosen that which was essential and vital. And you and I know that there are so many important things in our lives, so many important things that we have to take care of, that frequently we do not have time for the vital and essential, that of sitting at the feet of Jesus daily and obtaining from him the power to live a Christian life. That process of living for him, of becoming more and more like him by sitting at his feet, that process of obtaining power from him to having victory in our lives, is called the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification. So Jesus is not only there at the beginning of our journey with him. Brothers and sisters, he is there every single step of the way. It is Jesus from the beginning, clear down to the end. He is there for you and for me. But it's a matter of choice. You and I have a choice that we have to make every single day, whether or not we will choose the vital and essential or only the important. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that God wants more than just the better. He wants the best for you and for me. He wants the very best. And that's it. You and I may choose to sit at his feet and to become more and more like him. There's a last step. There's a last step in the process of redemption that Mary has not yet experienced. And it's called glorification. Glorification. And even though Mary did not experience in bodily also becoming like her Savior, she saw the glorified Christ. She saw the glorified Christ and what he was like. And I think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he says that we are to be transformed. Our bodies are to be transformed to become like his glorious body. We are to become like him at the resurrection morning. And it's because of his resurrection. It's because of his resurrection that the redemptive process may be finished in your life and my life. I think this morning of Mary because I think that she experienced those two steps, those first two steps, and now she's awaiting. She's awaiting for that third step of glorification through Jesus Christ, her Lord. And it was all because she had met Jesus Christ. And she was never the same again. I'd like to invite you to listen carefully as Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris saying, "I've just seen Jesus."
Hear what I say. I just see. my gentle words, asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there.
He's a child, he is I am
seen Jesus Christ? Have you met him? Do you know him as your Savior and your Lord? Have you really turned your life over to him? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that if you have really met Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same again. You will never be the same again. And his resurrection power will so change you that others will take note that you have been with Jesus Christ. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that God wants you more than anything else to know his Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord. And as the handbell choir plays the last number, I'd like to invite you to just contemplate in your own heart and your own mind that question. Have you really met Jesus Christ? And have you permitted him to make those changes in your life? If you had love for the Lord of the resurrection, our resurrected Lord, to remember you and allow his power to be active in your life, I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction. Our loving Father in heaven, we know that without the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that our lives would be lived in vain, as the Apostle Paul states. But Lord, we know that Jesus rose from the dead for each one of us here. And we long, as the Apostle Paul longed, for that resurrection power to be active in each one of our lives. Oh God, we want to live for you. We want to daily sit at the feet of Jesus and to become more and more like him, so that when we see him as he is, we will be like him. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer in Christ's dear name. Amen.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will